I've been doing a lot of thinking. And the thing is, I love you.
What?
I love you.
How do you expect me to respond to this?
How about you love me too?
How about I'm leaving?
Doesn't what I said mean anything to you?
I'm sorry, Harry. I know it's New Year's Eve. I know you're feeling lonely, but you just can't show up here, tell me you love me, and expect that to make everything all right. It doesn't work this way.
Well, how does it work?
I don't know, but not this way.
How about this way? I love that you get cold when it's 71 degrees out. I love that it takes you an hour and a half to order a sandwich. I love that you get a little crinkle above your nose when you're looking at me like I'm nuts. I love that after I spend a day with you, I can still smell your perfume on my clothes. And I love that you are the last person I want to talk to before I go to sleep at night. And it's not because I'm lonely, and it's not because it's New Year's Eve. I came here tonight because when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible.
You see? That is just like you, Harry. You say things like that and you make it impossible for me to hate you. And I hate you, Harry. I really hate you.
And this is Damian.
And we're just gonna stop pretending like we care about this intro and just get right to it. So Damian, what have you been watching? Because you're the most important one here today.
I'm sorry, what? When did that happen? I didn't get this briefing. I mean, I'm flattered. It's about time, but right. So, I'm just going to talk about three movies. But before that, to clear up the Avengers debate that no one heard because Douglas destroyed the last podcast. Douglas Robinson thought very little of the Avengers, and no one can see this but me, but there in the corner there is little Douglas, and he's weeping at the man that he has become. Corporate Douglas sitting beside me as I don't know what happened. All the joy in his life has disappeared, apparently. He doesn't like the Avengers, and no one understands why. But we leave that for another time. He'll have to defend himself to his younger self. It's quite sad, though, Douglas. Did you not see the Hulk? Did you not see the Hulk in that movie? You know, never mind. So I'm going to go ahead and talk about lesser movies. Starting off with Chronicle. You can go ahead. Starting off with Chronicle. I finally got a chance to see that. It was okay. In fact, I'd say I enjoyed it. It's not really good, but I did. I found it watchable. That might be because I expected a terrible movie out of Chronicle. It kind of looked like that movie, The Covenant. But it was far, far better than that. The movie kind of, took a nosedive towards the third act.
It kind of ramped up a lot at that point.
Yeah, a lot of things happened that didn't feel earned, and there were some decisions made, especially the very end of the movie, that made no sense. But it was a pretty good movie, and now that I found out that the director has been signed on to do the Shadow of Colossus, of the Colossus movie, that fills me with a little bit of dread, but I can't blame him for what happened in the third act. He didn't write that movie, so but his direction was pretty good. He found ways to incorporate the camera throughout the whole movie, and they had to write that in. It was it was clever at times, too clever, but it was still an enjoyable movie. The next movie that I saw was abysmal. So bad that I feel Disney deserved what happened to them for putting out this movie. John Carter is a travesty. I actually wanted to like the movie because it received so much hate. I went, there must be something redeeming about this movie. It can't be as bad as people say. But even if you go in wanting to like John Carter, the movie is actively prevent you from doing so. The story is so bad. So, have you seen this terrible movie?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
Do not under any circumstances. It's like it is a. It feels like the movie feels like it's wasting your time. He goes to Mars and.
Damien, because he goes to Barsoom.
He goes to Mars. And because he grew up on Earth, that gives him certain advantages. Or should, but it only gives him one advantage. The ability to jump really high. Which, that makes sense. The rest of the movie makes no sense. There's so many things that are bad about the movie. I don't really know where to start. All you need to know is he gets his ass to Mars at the end of the movie, which it's really bad. And the final movie that I saw that I'll talk about, I watched because I wanted to see why I like the first Men in Black movies. And so I sat down and I watched The Fugitive. And it is just as I remembered. Harrison Ford is mediocre. Tommy Lee Jones is phenomenal.
can I just say for a moment that when you started out, I thought you were about to talk about Wild Wild West.
Absolutely not. That's not even funny. Not even a little bit. The Fugitive is such a good movie. Tommy Lee Jones plays Tommy Lee Jones in this movie. If you haven't seen it, shame on you. The movie came out in 93. You've had 20 years. And I feel okay saying that it's a classic. No one will watch this movie and think this movie is bad. There are things in the movie that make no sense, especially now, in 2012. You look back and you go, maybe that could pass muster in 93. Absolutely not. Yeah, in this day and age. But Tommy Lee drags that movie kicking and screaming into goodness. And I cannot wait to watch him again in Men in Black. This is the third one, Men in Black 3. I hear that Josh Brolin Tommy Lee impersonation is fantastic. And for that reason, and that reason alone, those trailers don't look good. I'm going to watch Men in Black 3. So that's pretty much all I watch. Douglas, what have you seen?
I haven't watched much. Well, actually, funny enough, I kind of have watched a lot, but in very small doses. The only time I'm allowed, okay, mm-hmm. and. Done with the band. I have watched. Let us just list it up. Mm-hmm. So I just want to comment again on. All right. My head just.
Douglas just had to power down and restart. I'm sorry about that.
Anyway, is he still running on Windows?
His brain. Clearly.
Please not Windows. NT.
Oh my god.
Okay.
That was impressive.
So let's start over.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
You've seen a few things this week.
I've seen a few things this week, but I want to comment on something that I talked about last week, which was Better Off Ted. At that point, I'd only watched 15 minutes. Mm. Now I've watched the full run.
Ah.
And I just want to say that show is phenomenally funny. It's the best way to look at it is that it's a mixture between the IT Crowd and and Pushing Daisies, and perhaps with a splash of Arrested Development. That show, and it of course does help with that splash that one of the persons, Portia de Rossi from Arrested Development, is in it. But that show is amazing, and if you haven't seen it, you should.
This is also super cancelled. Right?
Yeah, it is, unfortunately super cancelled.
Hold on, one second. Damien, did you just say that you had never seen Pushing Daisies or IT Crowd?
Yes.
I thought you watched Pushing Daisies. Wow, okay.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah, something's wrong with him. You really should watch both.
I've actually just started watching The IT Crowd recently. It's a really
Isn't
good
it
show.
Fantastic?
Yeah. I'm yes. like, I think I'm done with the first season now.
Yeah.
I think what happened is I didn't realize that it was IT.
Oh, okay.
Because I've never seen that show on TV anywhere.
Yeah.
So all you see is The IT Crowd. I'm never watching it.
I heard they did a US
I thought it was one of those like OC
yes, they did.
Type
they
of
did, and
shows.
I don't think it lasted more than a
with
episodes.
Joel McHale in the lead role.
Huh. That I did not know. Really?
Yup.
Now I have to watch that. How could they use him in the lead role? No.
You don't
wow.
Have
and Richard Ayoade reprises his role in the same show.
Really? He's
oh, so,
so
it's a
awesome.
British
yeah, it's a British
okay.
show.
Alright, then definitely.
Anyways, you were
okay.
talking.
Yeah, I was talking. So I've been watching a few things. I've been revisiting one of my childhood memories, which is Wings, and realizing just how not great that show is.
That show started in the 80s.
Yeah, but I
how
watched
many
it when I was young. I thought it was awesome.
Well, I didn't. I've never liked that. But I thought
I'm
that
hoping
I was too young to get
yeah,
some
no,
of the jokes.
I used to love it, and I'm hoping that, you know, it progresses throughout the seasons, and that's why I loved it. Because I do remember more of the later version of it than the earlier. So we shall see. There, you know, I mean, Lowell is always hilarious. Anyway. Also, I watched Samantha Who. Which is, you know, mainly because I really like Christina Applegate. And I'd finished watching her latest show, Up All Night, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided, you know what, I'm going to have to try and watch something new. And that show, so far, I've watched 2 episodes, it's kind of just mediocre, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But we shall see. Also, I watched the first episode of a British show by the name of Ultraviolet, starring Stephen Moyer and Captain or Commandant Steve Narrington.
No.
The show is, for those of you who don't know, Steve Moyer is Bill from True Blood. And I don't know if that he's being typecast or what it is, but he's a vampire in this show.
Oh, I was going to say he's playing the same kind of southern.
No, he's British, he's actually a vampire.
Oh, wow.
But it's ridiculous because this show was made in the 90s, I think the early 90s, based
mm-hmm.
on what it looks like, and he has this ridiculous head of hair. It's, you know, long and flowing, and
impossible to take seriously.
Yeah. So, I mean, that alone makes me have to watch the rest of the series, which is only 6 episodes long as per usual. But truth be told, it doesn't look like that great a show, unfortunately. And so, I might still watch it just because. But,
yeah. That one is flowing here.
Yes.
That's not good enough, isn't it?
I know. By the way, it has nothing to do with the movie Ultraviolet, so...
Really,
at least,
Douglas?
At least there's
Are you
that.
Telling me the movie Ultraviolet wasn't based on this vampire TV show? Thank you.
Also, I've started watching... I've decided to give USA another chance. I don't know why I say another chance, because I love some of their shows and still watch quite a few of their shows. But, I started to watch Psych.
Oh, Douglas, why? Have you watched White Collar?
I love White Collar.
Okay, all right, then I guess you have any. There's nothing else worth watching on this.
What? No, Burn Notice is pretty good too.
Yeah, but I assume that you watch Burn Notice.
Oh yeah. And you know what I really like, and I think I've spoken about it, but I don't know what your feelings are on it. Suits. Have you watched Suits
no,
yet?
I haven't seen Suits.
That show is really good.
Sorry,
I like that show. But so, I mean, I figure, you know, USA has, I wouldn't say a great track record, but they're, you know, doing fairly well. So I decided to watch Psych, and it's not a great show, but none of their shows are. But at least for the first couple of episodes, which is about where I'm at, it's enjoyable. And so I'll keep going. They're kind of using the same formula that they always use, you know, the kind of goofy, never quite too serious, but pretty enjoyable procedural show. So... I'm down.
One guy's goofy and he has a sidekick that's more serious and he draws a sidekick into the goofiness. They do it time and again.
Yeah.
I just didn't fall for... I guess I just didn't buy that show. Because I watched a couple of episodes and went,
uh-huh.
This is stupid. Knowing full well that kind of like all of their other shows. As you pick and choose.
It really is sad how very... little there is different between all of them, you know?
Anyway, I mean, they tried with the 4400 and that show. They ran into the ground. It's like Heroes Before Heroes.
Oh, wow.
And it was good for about a season and then they ran that shit into the ground. Kind of like Heroes.
Yeah, I see. Okay. One last thing I want to talk about, and I really shouldn't talk about it because I've only watched half an hour to 45 minutes. No, I watched probably about an hour and something. But I watched Priest, starring what the hell is his name? and I think it's Maggie Q.
Yes.
That movie. Oh, and Carl Urban.
Yes.
I like Carl Urban.
Yeah.
And Stephen Moyer.
John
What? Oh yes, he was in there for
yes,
a little bit. Yes, he was. What in a vampire movie?
Yep.
Nonetheless,
where he, I believe he's turned into a vampire or killed by a vampire or some shit.
Well, he's killed by a vampire.
Right.
I don't know if he turns into one. I don't think he does. If he does, he hides it very well. But that movie, I'm sorry, I kind of like that movie. That movie is like just ridiculous action and no story, and it's bad, and it's in the same ilk, and it came out at the same time as that Angel movie. What the hell is it called?
So hold on, Damien. Damien.
Yes.
You and I.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You just talked about the little boy Douglas in the corner, right?
Right. No, I wasn't. Andrew, honestly, I wasn't going to bring up the fact that he's talking this way about Priest and said those hurtful things
that we
to young Douglas
we
last week in regards to Avengers. I was going to make that slip because what am I going to say to him now? Right? He's well aware that we're both thinking this and he sits here with a straight face talking about his affection for Priest.
For Priest.
Right.
For Priest, Douglas. Right. Priest.
Andrew.
Did you like Legion?
Maggie Q.
Did you like
Q
Legion?
Threw two rocks in the air. And then the guy that I can't remember his name. He jumped and went in the air and then stepped on those rocks and used them as stepping stones in order to then jump higher.
You know how
and kill a vampire.
I can't take 1 week of you bad mouthing Joss Whedon and the next week you praising Priest. No, I won't allow that. That's not a... No,
Douglas, did you see what the whole did to Loki? Were you there? You know what? Let's not talk about it. Andrew Douglas is finished with his list. What have you seen?
You know what's the worst part? I have, like, tons of serious movies to talk about, and my brain is in a bad place right now.
We're very sorry about it, Andrew Robinson.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, talking about movies that I saw this week. Right, you know what? Let me ease into it. Let me start with a bad movie that I wasn't going to talk about, right? A bad movie I wasn't going to talk about. I watched Killer Elite, right?
Oh, yes. I wanted to watch that movie so
and,
bad.
And I was so hoping for Shoot 'Em Up versus The Transporter, but it was nothing like that. It is.
I'm sorry, what movie are we talking about?
Killer Elite, the film Killer starring Elite. Clive Owen and Jason Statham.
Andrew, everybody on Earth knew that movie was going to be a travesty.
No, I hoped for a fun travesty. You know? As I said, I was
shoot
hoping
him up.
For Shoot 'em
yeah,
Up.
Yeah, but people
love
Shoot
'em
Up. No one likes this movie.
It was bad. It was horrendous. Let's move on. I saw for the first time Dial M for Murder, the Hitchcock film. And this movie, it is fantastically brilliant. And what I find interesting about it is that it presents such a respectable crime in the fact that we have this individual who has plotted to kill his wife. And he's doing this by bringing in an old friend of his who he hasn't met in years, and bringing him to do the murder. But things go a little bit awry, and the way that things switch up as the movie goes along is kind of brilliant. I love the dialogue. I love everything Hitchcockian about it. And I feel weird saying that word. What I love even more is that this is only a 2-hour film, and what I've noted about watching older films where they actually have an intermission, it generally has to be like a 3.5 to 4-hour movie for them to have like an intermission within the movie. But it's cut so right in the middle, in the fact that once the intermission hits, we've just dealt with the crime, and once the intermission comes back, we're getting into the fact that now we're dealing with an investigation. And it's a great movie. If you guys haven't seen it, you need to watch it.
Would you... So you said already, I think, so I really shouldn't ask if you would, but you believe that this movie is somewhat Hitchcockian?
Yes. Yes. I'm waiting for the part where you make fun of that.
No, I don't think I can. I can't.
Okay.
It just hurts me. It hurts me.
You're such a terrible person.
Anyways.
Yes, the movie by Hitchcock is Hitchcockian, yes. As opposed to some other guy.
So the next time that I reverse back and go to an ATM machine.
Right.
maybe then I'll understand.
They have those in Jamaica?
And the rain is falling.
Where are those?
Yes, the rain is falling.
Right, moving on. I also saw a very Terry Gilliam-like film, which was Time Bandits. And I didn't like
Fuck
it very
you.
Much.
Wait, hold on. Have you only just now watched Time Bandits?
Only just for the first time. I'd seen like
what?
The first
Why
5
are we
minutes.
Actively trolling each other.
But you sort of bought a movie for me like a couple of years ago.
Yes, I did, but I hadn't seen it.
Man. Actually, to tell you the truth, the first time I saw it, I wasn't a big fan. But it grows on you.
I kind of viewed it in the same way I view Baron Munchausen. It's very, very whimsical, and I feel like some people told me you had to have seen it when you were younger, one of those kind of movies. And I'm like, fine, whatever. But it didn't strike me when I saw it. But the one movie I really want to talk about that I saw this week, I finally got around to watching Certified Copy. Have either of you guys seen this movie yet?
God!
Yes.
Yes.
Did you talk about this movie?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Andrew, what is your take?
This movie, to me, is Before Sunset, Before Sunrise, and whatever's in between, all together, with better actors and a better director.
Are you saying that this movie is better than those movies?
Yes, and all within 2 hours.
Okay, hold on. I want to cut here now, because I think I'm going to be like the arbitrator, unless, of course,
mm-hmm.
something crazy is about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But Damien, what are your thoughts on this movie?
I think he's a crazy... I mean, I enjoy the movie. I love Certified Copy. I love it. But I don't think I love it as much as Andrew loves it. Now, I remember what Douglas felt about this movie.
I actually don't, so...
Right. Douglas was less than pleased with this movie.
Less than fucking pleased.
And he is now looking around for something sharp to stab both the speaker and myself. I should explain to him that stabbing the speaker won't actually kill Andrew. But I'm worrying about my own safety right now.
It will make me laugh, though. I can just imagine Harry David going,
I don't remember if I had spoken about this.
I don't think you had.
I remember Douglas was displeased, and that is one of the reasons why I saw for that movie, and I love that movie. And this is good.
Maybe something was wrong with me at the time, because the truth of the matter is that this movie is very much like...
You should watch it again.
Before Sunrise and Before Sunset, which I love to death. And I love Juliette Binoche. I don't really know anybody, the other guy in the movie, mm-hmm. but Juliette Binoche is fantastic, generally. But this movie, just, I did not like it one bit. I remember feeling like my insides were in pain while I was watching this movie. So bad, I hated this movie. I mean,
look.
And the thing that I hate is that I can't. It's been so long since I've seen it now that I can't actually speak to specifics.
You can't pinpoint.
You know,
look.
You just know.
You want to know what really put this movie over for me was not only the acting and the direction, which struck a chord with me, but the fact that around halfway through this movie there is a bit of a reveal. I don't know if you guys remember, right?
I remember.
And for the next 20 minutes after that reveal, I still wasn't sure to believe that reveal to be true, right? I thought, I kept going the way they were going, I was willing to buy it as these people riffing and having fun and playing with that reveal, as opposed to it being an actual fact. And it's just amazing. Like, the movie had me from moment one all the way to the end. And that's what we want movies to do. This movie, I'm sorry, I think it's better. I'm not going to exchange it for Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, because I still love those movies. But I think this movie is a better film than those two put together.
We're going to have to agree to disagree, and Douglas is going to have to hate us, but that's fine because he doesn't like Avengers, so fuck whatever Douglas.
oh, there's one more thing I want to mention, just a slight, I don't know if you're watching this, Damien, I'm pretty sure Douglas isn't, but I've been watching the TV show, the new one that's airing, Legend of Korra, pretty much the sequel to the Avatar series. That's now airing on Nickelodeon. And
so I haven't watched a second of it because I'm waiting for it to be over. Because I hear that it's just like Avatar, and there's no way I can watch it week to week.
It continues to be just as fun as Avatar. I just wanted to give it a mention because I have been watching it and I haven't talked about it at all. Anyways, yeah, that's pretty much all I have to talk to.
So Douglas, you're crazy. You're 0-2 today, certified copy on Avengers from last week, which is ridiculous. I don't even know what's going on.
I love how I'm 0-2 today from last week.
Well, last week's podcast will never be heard. So as far as everyone knows, you're 0-2 today. So Andrew, I dislike the fact that me and you are aligning in movies that we like. I don't like that. It feels kind of wrong, but
come to the dark side.
You can be right sometimes.
Come to the dark side.
It had to happen eventually. You couldn't just keep picking shitty movies forever. Although I dislike the fact that Douglas has clearly taken up that mantle. Priest, are you high? You know what? Let's talk about Charles.
So, okay, this week we got the first trailer for Baz Luhrmann's latest film, The Great Gatsby.
New York, 1922. The tempo of the city had changed sharply. The buildings were higher. The parties were bigger. The morals were looser and the liquor was cheaper. The restlessness approached hysteria.
Shall we?
Who is this Gatsby?
Do you know him?
War hero.
Mr. Gatsby doesn't exist.
Gatsby? What Gatsby?
I beg your pardon. Mr. Gatsby would like to speak to you. Alone.
Damien, I'm pretty sure out of the three of us, you're maybe the only one who has any interaction with this story previously. Am I incorrect, Douglas?
No, I did not read the book. I don't know what it's about. The intern did make me watch this trailer last night because she was very, very enthused.
Right.
Apparently, she does know what it's about. And it made complete sense to her. This trailer, however, didn't make any sense to me.
I feared that was what was going to happen.
That's one thing.
Right.
But I agree, the trailer was fairly pretty. And it has some fairly decent names behind it for me to want to watch it. I mean, Baz Luhrmann, while I've only really liked one of his movies, I haven't watched enough to Oh, no. I can't say that, sorry. I like two of his movies. Even though it was kind of bad, I did enjoy Australia.
Oh, shit! Shit, he did make Australia.
Yes, he did.
Well, I love the books.
I think I should really watch any movie that he does. On top of the fact, Leonardo DiCaprio, one of my favorite actors, is in this movie, as is Kerry Mulligan, who is amazing. Who was the other guy? I can't even remember.
Joel Edgerton is in there Warrior? As well.
Mm-hmm. He's in there.
And Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man.
Tobey Maguire, that's what I saw. I'm sure this movie is going to be good, but the trailer didn't quite tell me that. All it did was show me pretty pictures. And I guess I'm okay with that because it really just needs to show me who's on.
I had a smile from ear to ear the second this trailer started, because it is the thoughts I had in my head.
Kanye West.
The thoughts I had in my head was magically put on a screen in front of me, and I was happy. And that trailer makes perfect sense because I know I've read that. Well, I've listened to that book, and I cannot wait. Cannot wait to watch it, and I cannot wait for the backlash, the inevitable backlash of people bitching how the movie differs from the book. And let me say, from now, you guys need to find something better to do with your life instead of complaining that books aren't movies and movies aren't books.
Or as you like to put it, if you really need to do that, you also need to go and get raped in order to go watch Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah, like, honestly, just relax, guys. It's not that big a deal. So, Andrew, you clearly haven't read the book.
I have not read the book. I have no clue what this is about, other than apparently some dude named Gatsby. But I am totally
is his name
sold.
Gatsby?
Well, that's what
sure
they keep saying in
Gatsby?
The trailer.
Ah.
You're like, well, you see, you're hinting at shit now. You're spoiling shit for me.
That's not a spoiler.
The movie, it looks fantastic, and I think it's more me going, oh, yes, it is Baz Luhrmann, rather than anything else, because I actually seen all of Luhrmann's films to date, and honestly, I think,
so
like,
you're a fanboy.
Yes, I am a bit. I think one of his most striking films is his first one, which is Strictly Ballroom. And the look of this movie just reminds me so much of Strictly Ballroom. I love it. I'm looking forward to seeing a filmmaker I have some form of trust in doing 3D again, because with Scorsese's Hugo watching that in 3D, I'm looking forward to seeing Baz Luhrmann present a film in 3D.
What, you didn't like Avengers 3D?
You know, you're just being aggravating. I'm gonna go watch it in 2D this weekend.
Pretty sure they won't do that out here.
So next trailer, we have The Master.
Are you mixed up?
No, sir.
Are you more jumpy than you were before?
No, sir.
And how's your sleeping?
I sleep just fine, sir.
When you sleep, do you have nightmares?
Not as much as before.
You've had violent episodes.
Yes, sir, we all did.
You pulled a knife to the throat of an officer.
Will you box that out?
How would you yourself rank your overall health?
Strong.
What about this last episode on the way home?
What episode, sir?
The episode you had on the way home here.
I don't remember an episode.
You have no memory of what happened?
We were celebrating. We were drinking and dancing. We don't remember an episode. Was there a fight? What happened?
Let's just see if we can't help you remember what happened.
Okay.
Douglas Robinson, I just watched you watching this trailer for the first time.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Yes.
Do you guys know what this movie is about, by the way?
No.
Well,
no
I mean,
clue.
You can kind of guess.
Oh, okay. So you tell me, what do you think this movie is about?
That sounds like it's not about it at all.
Yeah. You go get it wrong. Yeah, I don't know what this is about, and I don't care.
So, well, first, I want to just at least talk about the trailer itself before I get into my conspiracy theory. But this trailer was aggravating for me because, I don't know why I've kind of turned myself off of Joaquin Phoenix. He's a great actor, though, but he's an asshole.
There was a couple of antics a couple years back.
He kind of went off the farm for a while, and so, you know, you kind of said to yourself, why am I going to go back to this guy? Why is he, you know?
Okay, all right,
why
Douglas,
should I give him another chance? Hold on. And then he comes out with something like this, where the trailer not only puts him up in your face, but the trailer defies you. It dares you to not like it. And, you know, at first you see him and you're like, whatever. Alright, fine. He finally got another job. Look at that. And you see in the trailer alone his depth of character and you can just imagine where it goes from there. And this movie looks fantastic. For no other reason than Joaquin Phoenix talking to the camera. So, to my conspiracy theory, this movie, I'm not going to say I know exactly what it's going to be, but it seems to me that Joaquin either is or thinks he is, or was at one point, a part of the Army or the Navy or some service... Some one of those kind of service branches of the government. Yeah. And clearly, I don't know if it's a predisposition that he had, but clearly something's not quite right, and he you know, has episodes where he goes off and, you know, tries to kill a motherfucker. And so he's clearly in this tiny room speaking with what seems to be some sort of military shrink, but could easily also be, you know, a worker in a mental facility. So there's that as well. You've got the two sides of the coin. But I'm just going to say that I'll take it at face value and side with Joaquin and think that that's exactly what happened, that he was in the army. Let's say something went bad, because I'm going to assume he couldn't just get in the army while being batshit crazy. You know, yes, maybe he had the predisposition for that, but something probably, you know, pushed him over. I did see him drink something that looked like, you know, some sort of nuclear waste slash fuel. So there is that, you know. But yeah, I think I'm just gonna go with that, and the movie is probably just really about him exploring what happened, why he is this way, and maybe trying to deal with those issues while having flashbacks.
Damien?
This trailer is awesome. And I watch it I watch it about 5 times each time, like expecting for like the trailer to continue. Right, every time it hit that title screen, the master went, there has to be more. They wouldn't do this. They just tease you. They're like, you know, you want to watch this. Right? It took them a minute to get me so involved in this trailer. It's ridiculous. And then they just went, the master. And that's it. I do not want to know anything about this movie. Douglas is guessing at shit. I don't care. Andrew, if you know anything about this movie, please keep it to yourself. I want this movie to be shrouded in mystery. All I want is this trailer until the movie comes out. Because this trailer is fantastic. And this is what trailers are supposed to do. All it is supposed to do is get me to want to see more of this movie. And they've done it.
Oh, I wanted to tell Douglas what the movie's about.
You can tell him. I'm going to take out my headphones.
So Andrew, what did you think about the trailer? And what's the movie about?
Oh, this trailer is fantastic. First of all, to go to your Joaquin Phoenix comment, I agree, it was a very dick move, what he did, and it didn't help a lot that the movie itself sucked. But I don't see that in any other vein. I don't see that any different from Borat, where Sacha Baron Cohen, and we love that. We loved antics.
But Borat was hilarious. What's wrong with that?
I'm talking about the fact of Sacha Baron Cohen parading around in character, making people look like assholes.
What's the issue? I don't understand.
Sorry. I was trying to make sense.
This is.
I realize I don't do that well on the podcast.
Double standards apply. Okay.
Anyways, yeah, this trailer, just like Damien, I think I watched it around like 6 times. I just kept pressing play. From the first time you see Joaquin Phoenix, like even when you actually get to see like full frame Joaquin Phoenix, like you almost don't recognize him. And it's weird because you expect that in movies with like tons of makeup or like facial hair all over the place, like an I'm Still There. But this is him just there, and he is just, this is obviously going to be his Daniel Plainview role, where you just don't, you no longer think about him as being Joaquin Phoenix. You're just going to think of him as being this individual. And alright, Damien, you can take off your headphones right now. Okay. This movie is about the birth of Scientology. And Joaquin Phoenix isn't even the lead in the movie. The lead in the movie is played by Philip Seymour Hoffman, who we don't even see in the trailer. And I just can't wait. I can't wait for another Paul Thomas Anderson movie. You can tell Damien to put back on his headset.
Wait. I just realized. I didn't even realize this is PTA's movie. Yep. I forgot. Oh, yeah. Wow. Damn. Okay.
So for Damien, who aggravated me for years about There Will Be Blood, oh, I can't wait for this movie. Does he have his headphones on?
Yes, he does. He's heard everything. Oh, wait, no. He has actually taken it out. He just did it very stealthily.
Are you guys finished?
Yes.
Yes, we're finished.
Good.
We're finished talking about the movie.
I did mention you specifically.
I heard PTA. Who the hell is PTA?
Paul Thomas Anderson.
What? What about WS? So finally we'll talk about Bond 23.
Country,
England.
Gun,
shot.
Agent,
provocateur.
Murder,
employment.
Skyfall. Skyfall.
Done.
I love this trailer. I have to say that I'm contractually obligated to say that by my mother, who we sat and watched this trailer, I'd say about an hour or so. And it's a million long trailer, so I think about 50 times, I think.
Where did the word association?
And I'm exaggerating, but only by like 15 minutes.
Skyfall.
Every single millisecond of this trailer, and I'm impressed. It looks like a James Bond movie. No shit. I'm especially impressed the first time they ask him to tell them about Skyfall, and there's the pause, and
Skyfall,
and then he's like done. I'm like, okay, so mission complete, but something terrible happened, and then they cut to lots of pretty pictures and James Bond doing James Bond type shit, and I love it. I cannot wait.
Sam Mendes directed James Bond.
I'm sorry,
Sam Mendes movie.
Oh, did he actually stay on to direct?
Yep.
I thought he had kind of disappeared because of the funding.
This is his movie. Sam Mendes.
Awesome.
Sony ensured that the madness that was happening with the licenses was well taken care of. I said, look here, guys. You guys think we're going to get rid of the James Bond license? You're going to come. They paid for everything and got Mendes on board. And this is 23. Apparently, they've spent close to $150 million on this crazy movie.
Oh, that's,
you can
that's,
see,
I mean,
you can see the money on the screen. That movie looks pretty.
That it does, and $150 million is nowhere near what it's gonna make.
No. $150 million for a movie that won't have a lot of CG is a truck ton of money.
Yeah.
They're not rendering the Hulk and aliens from outer space in this movie. This is all location and setting of things.
It's not John Carter.
Sam Mendes, James Bond sounds like a plan.
Yes, I like his. I think you said something in the trailer like, people are coming to kill us.
Yes.
We kill them first.
Yes.
Something like that.
I love the word association.
Yeah.
Gun, shoot.
Yep.
Kill, murder. Employment.
Yeah, kill, employment. Oh, so good. So good.
I like the trailer.
Oh.
It was a nice intro to the movie.
Who was beside M in the waiting room? I remember there was a big name that I was like, really?
Ray Fiennes.
Ray Fiennes, yes. Okay.
Lord Voldemort.
Wow. Isn't it crazy that that's what he's probably known for now?
I think he'll enjoy all that sweet, sweet money.
No. I'm sure he's enjoyed it. But I'm just saying, you know.
To be part of one of the biggest franchises in movie history, I think he'll accept.
But I'm pretty... but there is a flip side to that. Like, I remember a while back, I went online and I saw a video of him doing this radio show. I don't remember what radio show it was. And the host was like, okay, you're now most known, as we're talking about, for Lord Voldemort, but did you know about Harry Potter's fan fiction? To which he was asked to read a passage from some fan fiction, which I just can't believe is comfortable enough, is comforting to read. people writing stories of Harry Potter and Lord Voldemort getting it on.
I mean, I don't know if Ray Fiennes understands the internet how I understand it. But that is the internet being the internet. It is the reason you don't go to the back alleys of the internet. You stay on the main road.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the internet is a dark, scary place.
Sometimes I feel like not the careful, alleys are the bright places of the main road.
Harry Potter
dark,
fanfic
dark
will be the least of your problems.
Very true.
Douglas, you're looking forward to James Bond, I assume?
Of course I am.
Thank you very much. Odds are you won't like what it is. When the storm arrives, would you be sealed with me by the merciless eyes I'm deceived? I've seen angels fall from blinding eyes. From what you call?
C'est à moi que tu parles. C'est à moi que tu parles, enculé, c'est à moi que tu me tiens. Hein? Ça, c'est à moi que tu parles, là. Oh, 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 c'est à moi que tu parles. C'est, mec, c'est à moi qui parle, enculé, c'est à moi qui parle, putain. C'est à moi que tu parles comme ça, mec.
So this week, Douglas went on the internet, looked up Vincent Cassel's name, picked the one movie he hadn't seen, and that movie was The Hate. Douglas, what do you think about this movie?
Full disclosure, I haven't watched all of this movie.
Oh, Christ!
I've watched the first,
so we can start ignoring Douglas
I've
immediately.
I've watched an hour and a half of it, okay?
Mm-hmm. Isn't the movie an hour and a half long?
No, it's like 1:45 or 2 hours, somewhere around there.
It is not 2 hours. The movie is, I think, an hour and 37 minutes
long. There you go. So I only have 7 minutes left.
Yeah, but the most important 7 minutes.
Yeah,
you
I know, it. Clearly. But this is a movie about France, or not really France, but a community that is kind of in turmoil because of a big kind of like race war almost that's going on because some police beat up this Arab boy, and so everybody's, you know, kind of inflamed, and I guess you could say it was probably fairly timely at the time, because I remember, I don't know if this was around then, but there was some there was a big
it was fairly timely at the see, you laugh at Andrew for doing these things.
well
so
please,
it is my duty
well
to
please.
Do
okay,
this
okay alright
thank you, thank you.
but yeah so essentially you've got this cast of characters you know, fairly different people. You've got Vince, played by Vincent Cassel. I never actually even thought of that link.
They're actually all using their own names.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, Vince is clearly the most disturbed and just don't give a fuck out of the three. He is also, I guess you could say, the de facto leader of the group. In many ways. Also there is Saeed and there is Hubert. Saeed is, I would say, the one in the middle most of the time, who, you know, is very much impressionable and kind of just goes with what's happening. And then there's Hubert, who is, you know, kind of like, he could have been, I can see him as, you know, Vince maybe 5 years ago, but now he's kind of jaded and kind of, you know, wants to get out and is very sober and very, you know, serious. I think that this movie throughout it reminded me of things like Do the Right Thing from Spike Lee. It just had that raw feel, and I think the way that the movie kind of went about its story, there really is no real story here. I mean, you kind of pick up tidbits along the way, but it's really you following these three people as they make it through their day, and their day just happens to be during this really inflamed time, and they live in not a great area, like the projects of France, wherever that is. They call it the projects, okay?
Yes, the whereabout that is not this.
I don't know where in France they have projects. It's probably one spot.
Mm. far away from the Eiffel Tower.
It's where Vincent Cassel lives, that's all.
Yes.
Exactly. And they just kind of walk around and kind of wait for things to happen and, get bored sometimes and kind of just sit around, and when that gets too boring, they move on and decide to see if anything else is going on somewhere else. And it really is just, the story of their travels on this one day. And I think the way that they riff off each other and the way that they kind of build each character and the story and the scenario all piece by piece indirectly is kind of the greatest thing about this movie. And not only that, but the fact that it's clear that this is, well, I don't want to say it's clear because I feel like whenever I say that I get it wrong, especially when I haven't studied up, but to me it's clear that this is this director's first film, and it's beautiful.
Can I start with being correct?
Thank you. I knew
just wanted to make sure that it wasn't clear.
Okay. I knew that it would have had to have been incorrect, because I said it was clear.
Right.
Anyway, this movie is beautiful. It's all in black and white. The way that the director and the cinematographer see the different scenes and how they get the imagery and the just the way everything is presented is not necessarily what you'd see, just a run-of-the-mill or even a pretty damn good movie, and the acting is fantastic. I guess it's hard. I really want to say that Vincent Cassel was the best out of the lot, but the truth is his role, just like Christian Bale in The Fighter, is easy to pick up on quickly as the great role, just because he's the most enthusiastic of them all. But he really does, however, I don't want to put anything down on him, he does a great job in that role, but as does the whole group, the three of them. You kind of no matter what situation you're in, you believe exactly what's happening, what they're putting forward, and you see the emotion in them. And I think this movie is, I'm glad that I came across this thing. I mean, this movie is pretty fantastic.
Damien, what did you think?
Andrew?
Oh, alright, sure. What I think is that there is a $10 Blu-ray on Amazon for this movie that I don't want, because there's a $30 Criterion Blu-ray of this movie that I do want. This movie is fantastic for the same reason that Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing is fantastic. That it feels real. It feels like you've met people like them before, like you've known these characters for a long while, that instantly they're recognizable and you know those character traits and you've seen this type of behavior before and you can understand it. While you may not agree with their behavior, you go, yeah, I mean, I can see where, you can see where they're coming from, even though they're made of characters and you have no real idea where they're coming from, but it feels so grounded. And the acting in this movie is, I mean, it's top notch. It's kind of surprising when you see movies like this and then you look at some of the movies today and you just go,
like, maybe what? Priest. I'm sorry, I had all to right. do it.
That's 1 point for Andrew. You watch movies today, you go, something, like, none of the characters feel like real characters. You go, these people feel like they were written by someone. But these characters feel so natural, and it is over 24-hour span, and like within 10 minutes you're on board, you're enjoying the movie, and by the time the movie ends, the movie feels so good. I don't really know how there's words I could use to describe it, but there we outlawed all those words on this podcast. But the movie, it's great to watch. I haven't seen it in high def yet, which pains me to no end, but I'll rectify that shortly. But even shitty standard definition, this movie looked great. The camera work is fantastic. You can see that the director enjoyed the time he spent with this movie, and you can see the same of the actors, and it feels wire-esque. It feels right, like they got it spot on. You just know, you know it when you see it. You go, that's probably what happened at that time, and it's very hard to capture that, but when you get it right, it is so right that there's nothing else that you can do but love the movie, and it is great. And I'd recommend this movie to absolutely everybody, especially people who don't like movies with subtitles. This would be the perfect movie for them, because there's just no way you can be bored by this movie. It is impossible. The movie is so good, so fun. The directing is so, I mean, everything about this movie is great. I cannot wait till I have this movie in my hands. I'll watch it so many times. Douglas, thank you. You've made some shitty decisions before.
Okay, stop. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I have to break you, just to let you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was just kind of searching through the director's filmography and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know.
The man who directed this movie is the same man who played the mugger in The Fifth Element. I saw
that. No,
I think that's hilarious.
That is stupendous.
He also directed Gothica and Babylon AD.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Remember when we said that this was probably his one good movie, and then he followed it up with a life of tragedy?
Yeah, we
I guess we
that.
Got that spot on.
Oh, boy.
Alright, let's see his... Holy shit. Mm. Oh, no. Mm. Oh, this is bad. This is bad. Oh my god. I hope his foreign films are... I guess his... Hopefully his foreign films are so stupendous that it makes up for those terrible...
You'll just be like, don't watch his English language movies.
Yeah. Clearly. Although...
He was in Haywire, apparently.
Stubble.
Oh, he was Studer. Oh.
I don't remember. Right. So, Andrew, do you enjoy... Hate. Are you a hater?
So, this is like one of the kind of reviews I hate to do. Not because I feel anything bad about what I'm going to say, but you guys have said everything I want to say about this movie. It is exactly as you say. It's brilliant from start to end. It's fantastic. Vincent Cassel stands out, not because he's the best, but because he is the most showy of the three characters. But I want to add on, like, there's a weird thing I noticed thinking back about this movie when I watched it last night, is that it's so easy to see the straight narrative of the progression of these three friends as they go on their evening, which is such a weird way to put this movie, going on their evening. But at the same time,
like a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
That are romp in the afternoon.
But at the same time, it kind of plays up like one of Douglas's favorite little subgenres of movies being a crazy one-night movie. Where if you think about it really hard, each scene plays out as its own little bit, right? And there's some which stand out a lot in this movie. Two I really want to mention is the bathroom scene, which I guess even the characters in the movie stop at that point when that scene is over and go, "What was that about?" Where this guy just pops out of a stall and tells his story about about being on a train and a guy taking a crap off the train and chasing the train. It's a weird little story, but a moment in which you're having so much fun with the dialogue that it just works as its own little bit. And another moment which stood out for me was there's a scene where they're trying to rob a car. It is so fantastic in this character that just ends up coming up to them at that point. I love it. The black and white is great. The direction is fantastic. And I wish we could wipe out the fact that this guy did Gothica and and Babylon AD. Because watching this movie, I'd have hoped that this guy would have gone on to do the greatest films ever. Right?
Well, I mean, he's got other stuff.
Yeah, but you know,
I just want to say in my defense that this is his second movie. I mean, really, you couldn't cut me a little slack? You couldn't?
You said it was clear. So you can't really get slack when you make definitive statements like that. I am 100% positive that this is... Oh, Douglas, you're wrong. Never mind.
But don't worry, Damon. He started off tonight praising Priest, so...
I don't know. I think it's all the work that he's been doing is getting to his head. Because he's been saying crazy shit of late. We need to...
At least we all agree on one thing tonight.
Adjust his medication.
At least we all agree on one thing tonight. Hate is an amazing movie.
We actually did agree on all the trailers that we saw, though. We all want to see those movies. Yeah. Which is good. It's been a long time since we had a trailer section like where we went, "Oh right, they're still making good movies." It's usually, "Why on earth did Andrew pick this?" Two of us agree on one, and then there's like a final trailer that we can all get on board. But this week, they pulled out all the stops. They gave us three great, great trailers.
And Douglas picked an amazing movie.
Yes, and Douglas picked an amazing buy buckups. Share love.
Can I ask Douglas, I always like to ask this question on your podcast. What was your logic to picking this movie?
I told you.
Is that really what happened?
Not quite. I mean, I was looking for good movies. I was looking around the internet, and I was not looking for IMDb. Vincent Cassel. But I ended up somehow reading about this movie, and it looked kind of great. And the fact that Vincent Cassel is in there was also a sell. Yeah. You know, so I decided, you know, why not throw the dice.
I mean, I put this movie on last night and I was dead tired, and it's one of those times when you go to watch a movie and I'm like, please be 90 minutes, please be 90 minutes. And this movie could have been 4 hours long. I would have loved it regardless if it stayed this good. So thank you, Douglas.
You're welcome.
Does he redeem you for the nonsense he spoke about Avengers?
Nope, he can't talk badly about Joss Whedon to me. I'm sorry, I don't allow that.
It helps. You owe me mutters viciously.
I honestly Andrew can't wait CPT. Until you guys finally get to see Cabin in the Woods.
Did you see that at Caribou at any point? I don't remember seeing
it. No, it was there.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew says that it was there.
No,
people
I
also
know,
confirmed
I know
it that
there. It
did. But I didn't see it. Was it there for like a week?
It was there for a good while, actually. It was there for at least 3 weeks.
Alright, so, Prometheus, Batman, Avengers. No, you hate Avengers.
Yep.
So you only have two movies that can win the summer. I would put Spider-Man in the mix, but that's because I love that third trailer. But I doubt it will be better than Prometheus or Batman.
You really think for me this is gonna be that good? I mean, I...
Ridley Scott has the hit or we'll never hear from him
I'm
again.
I'm going in for Prometheus.
Think about it. If he fucks up Aliens,
wow.
It's over. It is. He's done. The internet will kill him.
I'm so, like, worried for that movie, though. Because that movie has so much hype and so much expectation.
And Dark Knight Rises
so doesn't. Much... Yeah, but that's Chris Nolan.
Oh!
Right. Thank you. That's what I tried to explain to Andrew. I'm like, look, I don't even feel... I can't be worried anymore. The last time I was worried about Chris Nolan, he gave me Inception.
Can I tell you,
so
I just got
no
Inception on Blu-ray this week. I didn't buy it at the time. And I bought it along with Being John Malkovich on Criterion. So that's going to be an interesting double feature this weekend.
Dog, I mean, I can't, like, there's no fear anymore with Nolan.
Yeah.
Until he has his catastrophe, which he is due.
Just as long as it's not The Dark Knight.
I'm pretty sure it won't be. Did you see the Batwing? Holy shit.
Oh, yes.
Anyways, guys, it's time to wrap up.
Yes.
So everyone
Andrew has to
go and watch La Haine or The Hate, dependent on what language you speak. And
just buy the Criterion.
Yeah, just buy it.
Don't bother wasting time.
Yeah.
Just buy it. It's $30. You have $30 if you're listening to this. Don't pay internet for a month. Buy this. Watch it for the entire month and then turn on back the internet.
So thanks for listening and good night.